And it's a very, very hard war. It's I'm working since 25 years. This is the first war that I faced. It's a very, very strong war, and we don't know how we are be patient to keep to still alive during this 7 months. Actually, this war is keeping and still ongoing on Gaza Strip. So each month we talk to us that this war will stop and the international community will stop this war, but actually nothing changed, and the war is still ongoing until this moment.
Ahmed, you left, but you have two brothers, their wives and children. Where are Gaza right now? What circumstances are they living in?
Yeah, of course. I left two brothers, wives, and their children in Khan Yunis at the Mawasi area that the Israeli army said it is a humanitarian area, but actually nowhere, no place in Gaza Strip are safe, because I was there, and we are, all of us were lived in a tent on this area. This area, it's like a desert, no water, no food, no useful food, and it's a danger areas, because the Israeli army, by time to time, are targeted at tents and targeted many targets over there. So we are seeking and we are trying to evacuate them from Gaza Strip as soon as possible to follow us here in Egypt to be safe, because as I said, this war are still ongoing. The situation, my family and all the Palestinians' situation are very, very catastrophic, very, very bad over there. No one can live, and no one can guarantee that he will wake up at the next morning, he is alive or he is not wounded.
Ahmed Zakhout, so many of your photographs feature children, also ambulances. Can you talk about your focus right now as you photographed in Gaza these last 6 months?
Yes, of course. Our coverage this war is different about many last wars in Gaza. As you know, Gaza Strip, accord for 4 wars at least, and I covered them, but this war was special, and because it's special about me as a photojournalist for 25 years, because the intensive hits, the intensive heavy attacks on the neighborhoods, the cities, the buildings, and also it hits the civilians, the innocent people, actually. So it's different. This is the first time I felt the fear and terror of this war on me and on my brothers, my family, completely, actually. So it's I can't explain this war, because it's a very, very big war. We can say each area that we went at and cover it, we can say it's like an earthquake hit this area, not bombs hit. A lot of destruction area, buildings or in each single piece and place in Gaza Strip. So we are focusing on children, women, and on the ambulances, teams, and all of the civilians that were hit on this war.
Ahmed Zakhout, two of your photographs are featured in an OCHA project. That's the UN Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. It's a project called Gaza's Carnage Through the Eyes of Palestinian Photojournalists. One of them was taken on October 9th, the other on November 10th. Can you describe these photographs that you chose for this project? In your description of the photograph from October 9th, it says, it was as if flames were spewing from the jaws of Israeli tanks and the F-16 missiles. I took this picture from the 19th floor of a skyscraper in Gaza. In my 25-year career as a photographer, I never felt such fear and distress. I felt that I was filming a cinematic movie scene. I had to remind myself it is all too real. I don't have the words to describe this picture, but I know the terror I felt watching the flames lighting up Gaza in a night drowned in darkness with the electricity cutoffs on Gaza. We're, Ahmed, looking at your picture as you talked to us about it, that picture you took in October.
Yes, of course. This is the first time that I captured such this picture, because as I said and I as explained, I thought myself that I'm shooting or capturing a cinematic scene, because this is the first time I saw a heavy of air attacks on a simple area. It was a Rimal neighborhood. It is the beautiful neighborhood in Gaza. And this night, it was because of the heavy and the intensive attacks from the airstrikes, they are lighting the area. Amid of this darkness, as you know, Gaza are suffering from power cut for many years, since 2006. But this time I felt that Gaza is lighting, but not with electricity, by the lights comes from the bombs of air strikes from the F-16 warplanes. So this picture are still stuck on my mind until now, and will still stuck on my mind for forever, because I felt that really I'm in a cinematic scene, not in a real war that hitting the areas and the buildings over there.
And
this
I wanted
why
to end.
This picture are still stuck and has a story with me.
Ahmed, I wanted to end with your other photograph from November. It is a photograph of thousands of displaced Palestinians fleeing south. You wrote, as I was taking this picture, I remembered my grandfather telling me about al-Nakba and how he was displaced. I started crying.
Yes.
Tell us about.
Of course, I remember this picture. So I was crying. I stopped my capturing pictures at that day, especially because I remembered my grandfather's story that he told me before he passed away in 2002 about the Nakba stages, when the Israeli forces forced them to lift the original cities in Israel to the southern cities in Gaza Strip. So he told me one word, that this scene will not get back at this time. So when I capture this scene, I remember this word from him, that when he told me this sentence, that when he told me before he passed away, that this scene will not get back. But now we are shooting this picture. We are shooting this situation, this displacement for these people, for those people who are suffering, as you see in the picture. They are carrying their belongings at their help and hands. So they are fleeing from the northern cities of Gaza Strip to the southern cities. So it reminds me what my grandfather told me about this displacement. It's the same happened since 1948. Now we are in 2024. And 20 or 23, by the way. So this remind me and stuck my heart. I stopped my work and keep crying away from my friends that we are together at that day.
Ahmed, can you talk about how you got out of Gaza with your family? Can you talk about what an adult has to pay, something like $7,000-$8,000. It's $2,500 for a child. Explain the circumstances, how you get out. As the Israeli says, it is intent on now attacking Rafah, where people leave from.
So, yes, we left Gaza by coordinating with the Egyptian press syndicate, and they arranging that to me and to my family, because I'm a journalist, so they helped me to do that. I appreciated that for them, and very thankful for them, because they helped me to leave Gaza here to Egypt to at least stay for maybe 1 or 2 months until the war will stop. So I will get back to my city, to Gaza, to the Gaza Strip, to keep working and to keep sending messages and to keep the sufferers in Gaza Strip.
Ahmed Zakhout, we want to thank you so much for being with us. Palestinian photographer forced to leave Gaza with his family 10 days ago. Coming up, we will look at UN project, the Gaza Collective Photo Essay Project, and the work of more Palestinian photojournalists. Stay with us. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. On Thursday, I spoke with Charlotte Kahns, head of photography for the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, about the Gaza Collective Photo Essay Project she has led. She asked 14 Palestinian photographers to share one image taken in the Gaza Strip over the last 6 months that they want the world never to forget. A warning to our TV audience, the interview features graphic images. She speaks from Paris, France.
Thank you very much, Amy, for having me and having us and talking about this project, which is very special indeed. I think, you know, the first thing is that a couple of weeks into the war, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said the situation in Gaza is not just a humanitarian crisis. It's a crisis of humanity. And I think for me, for us, this is what, you know, started it all, because the assault that we're seeing on the population of Gaza is unprecedented in brutality, scope, and intensity. And the figures speak for themselves. In 6 months, you had over 100,000 people killed and wounded, 70% of whom are children and women. You know, this staggering number as well, that the number of children killed in Gaza is higher in 6 months, is higher number of children of all the wars combined all around the world. You have 3/4 of the population displaced, famine is imminent, law and order are breaking down, humanitarian aid is actively blocked, and on and on and on. And you know, I think these figures are so staggering that they defy comprehension. And so for me and for us, it was really important to try to humanize these numbers, to make them real and to make them understandable. And I think it's quite paradoxical, because there's been an overflow of images and stories on Gaza, flooding our phones, flooding our screens, you know, for 6 months. But somehow it is not cutting across. And I could see it in my direct environment, you know, talking to friends and families. I could see that people didn't really understand what was going on in Gaza. Yes, they know there's a war in Gaza, and they know that wars are bad and horrible. But it's one thing to say there's a war and it's horrible, and it's another thing to see an image of a child being pulled out from the rubble. It really hits you differently. And so I think for us, it was really, as the UN, as OCHA, which is the humanitarian arm of the UN, it was really important to elevate these stories coming from Palestinian photojournalists, who are the only window into what is going on in Gaza, because, as you know, international foreign journalists have been banned of entering Gaza independently. None of them have, except from Clarissa Ward, who went in for like 2 hours at the end of sometime in December. So Palestinian photojournalists are the only window into the suffering of people in Gaza. And so it was really important for us to go to them and to try to share and elevate again the incredible, tragic testimonies that they are reporting and covering day in, day out for the last 6 months.
So, Charlotte Kanz, can you talk about how you reached out to Palestinian photojournalists?
Yeah, that's a really good question because it's been incredibly difficult. It's been a process that has been going on for weeks. It took us over 3 months to put this project together. And, you know, as you know, the communications have been really, really difficult with Gaza. I think, you know, it got better recently, but, you know, in December, January, up until February, there were like constant blackouts. So it was hard to get a hold of people, and you would get a hold of someone and then the person would not be responding for days on end. And suddenly you had, you know, an answer and they were like, yes, I'm really happy to participate. I will send you images, and then nothing again for a couple of days. So it was this constant back and forth. And I just want to say here that, you know, the way we made it happen also has been through an incredible photojournalist called Tania Habzhuka, who's been based in Jerusalem, Ramallah, for the past 25 years. Tania is an award-winning photojournalist. She knows the country and the region inside out. And she had an incredible network of you know, colleagues, Palestinian colleagues. And so through Tania as well, we were really able to reach out to a number of them, bring them on board. And, you know, it was a combination of, again, her network, word of mouth. And also, Amy, to be honest, you know, they are being killed also, Palestinian photojournalists. So there are not that many of them left in Gaza, to be honest. And this is tragic.
So introduce us to some of the photographs that are in this collection.
Okay, so I think, let me actually, I'm just taking it in front of me. I think, you know, there's one photo for me that hits me really hard. It's the photo of from photographer Jihad Al-Shrafi. Jihad is a 22-year-old Palestinian photographer from Gaza. And he took this image of Ibrahim, who's a 12-year-old boy, like any other boy in the world, who had his arm amputated because of his injuries in the last 6 months. And we can see him on the image trying to brush his teeth. And he's holding the toothbrush with his mouth and the toothpaste in his left hand. And he's trying to do something as simple as brushing his teeth. And you can see in this image how difficult it is and how his life has been turned upside down. And I think, you know, with the number of children killed in Gaza and wounded, and I think, again, this is pretty unprecedented compared to other conflicts and wars around the world. You know, and when we say, I think it's Save the Children had this terrible statistic a few months ago, which was that 10 children per day on average have lost an arm or a limb in the war. And when you see that, when you see Ibrahim trying to brush his teeth, you understand what that means. It's his life has been shattered, but it's not just his life, it's his family's life as well, because he will need a caregiver for years to come. So again, it's like, you know, through the war, it's entire families who are being affected. And I think this image really hits, you know, very hard to me.
Charlotte, introduce us to Bilal Khaled and his picture.
Yeah, so Bilal is a very interesting, you know, character and person. He used to be a calligraphy artist, and he is still a calligraphy artist, but he was, you know, making a living as a calligraphy artist also before the war. He's also a photojournalist. He's an incredible photographer. His images are stunningly tragic very often. There's a couple of images of him in the project. One of them is of a little boy, with Amy, the color of ashes. He's sitting on a hospital bed crying, and there's blood, you know, dripping along his face. And Bilal, in the text that accompanies the photo, because that's something very special to this project, it's not just the images, it's the personal text that the photographers have shared to accompany the images, where they explain their emotions and the backstory to the image and what the story means to them. And Bilal has these words with this image. He says that this child, when he got to hospital, was crying for his bicycle. And he kept saying that he wanted his bicycle. He wanted his bicycle, not having fully comprehended what had just, you know, hit him. So this is a really strong image. And then another one from Bilal, which is incredibly strong as well, where you see a family And I think this is very special because in many images that we've seen on Gaza, quite often it's one parent or the other with their dead child. But in this image, you see the entire family. You see the mother, you see the father, you see the brother, and you see this dead child in their arms, and their grief and their suffering is so raw in this image. It's incredibly strong.
I wanted to read the quote that Bilal Khalid sent. He said, "A Palestinian child was carried to Al Nasser Hospital, pulled out from the rubble, and started screaming his name. This is Dia. This is Dia. When his siblings, mother and father arrived, their pain was unforgettable. He'd left their home to get some wood for heat when he was killed in an airstrike. The family forms a cocoon around his shrouded small body." Tell us about the photographer Jahan Kowera.
So Jahan is a young female photographer. There's a couple of them in the project. We have three female photographers represented with Jahan, Mariam Abu Dagga, and Samar Abu Elouf. So there's three of them. Jahan has this poignant image of a young girl who's lying on a hospital floor. It's a very graphic image. It's very hard. The hands of a health specialist trying to, fix something, her drip or whatever that is. But what is striking in this image is that she's got her right hand lying on the floor, and in her right hand, there's a piece of candy. And it's this, typical candy that kids in many different places of the world eat that is very recognizable. And seeing this young girl, she's probably six or seven, no more, lying on the floor with a piece of candy in her hand. And the quote again of Jahan is incredibly, incredibly powerful. And I have it in front of me, actually, Amy. I don't know if I can read it to you. But she says that she could not hold herself up when she saw this little girl gasping for breath, and that the piece of candy still stuck in her hand, stained with blood. She will never forget when she was carried to the mortuary. And she says here, "The candy fell at my feet on the blood-soaked ground." And again, I think what is so strong with this project, again, is that these images hit you because they make this suffering so relatable. These are not just random kids. When you recognize the piece of candy in her hand, you can see all the kids that you know, your own kids, your nephews, your nieces, and that makes it, again, particularly strong.
Can you tell us about Saher Al-Ghoura?
Yes, so Saher has an incredible image in the project where you see a dad, it's in a white tent, screaming, and the dad is in a bit of a hallucinatory state, as he says himself in his text. And right next to him, lying on the floor, is the body of his dead child, covered by a white cloth. And Saher has been documenting the war for the last 6 months for many different outlets. He's a really strong photographer. He just won Picture of the Year, actually, for his work. And again, his, this image is, the suffering is so raw and so, it just hits you, directly. It just stabs you in the heart, really, Amy.
And then there's Mahmoud Hamz. It's similar, but different. He says, "Mohammed El Alul is a cameraman for Anadolu News Agency. He is my friend. We spend a lot of time together, and we also often cover the war together. Four of his children were killed in an airstrike, his wife severely injured. When he heard what happened to his family, it was early morning. We were together at the hospital. We went to the morgue at Al-Aqsa. I knew his children. All I could do was to be there with him crying."
Yeah, absolutely. Mahmoud is a photographer for AFP, Agence France-Presse, who's been covering 30 years of war in Gaza. And I think this image is very strong, as you say, Amy, because it talks about you know, the fact that, again, these Palestinian photojournalists are being killed in this war. And they are not just witnesses. They are victims as well, whether they are being killed or wounded or whether they are being displaced with their families. And this, again, makes it very, very special in, you know, what we're seeing unfolding in Gaza right now.
And what you know of Mohammed El Alul, the cameraman who lost his children. He's wearing, so, of course, he's wearing the press vest.
Yeah, exactly. And I think in this incident where his the house where he was staying in got targeted by an airstrike, he lost three of his children and his brother on the strike. So again, we're talking about entire families being decimated.
And Anadolu News Agency, where is it?
So Anadolu is a Turkish news agency. It's one of the big, you know, news agencies, again, based, headquartered in Turkey.
Tell us about Mohammed Zanun.
So Mohammed Zanun is also one of the, you know, main photojournalists who's been reporting on this war, you know, since the beginning. He's working for several news agencies. He's working, you know, he's been working for Al Jazeera. He's been working for Le Monde. He's been working for a couple of others. His images are all very striking. There's a couple in the project. There's one of where you can only see the feet of a child, and you only see that it's tiny feet in the photo. You don't know who it is, completely buried under the rubble. And Mohammed has this caption which says, "The child's feet were all that were visible from the rubble. The little girl was killed along with three of her brothers by an Israeli airstrike in Khan Yunis Market. The mother, she lived, but she was hopeful for hours that they would be pulled out alive by the paramedics from the rubble where her home once stood." And I think this photo is incredible, Amy, as well, because, you know, it's probably, again, when people have seen them, it's one which really stayed with them. It's graphic in a way, but it's not graphic in another. But the emotion that you have when you see this image again, you know, very strong, and it makes you understand again what we were talking about before. What does this war look like day in, day out for people and families and children in Gaza? You know, seeing a child's feet under the rubble, you know, again makes you understand the war quite differently than just reading about it.
Charlotte Cannes, head of photography for OCHA, the United Nations of Humanitarian Affairs, coordinated the Gaza Collective Photo Essay Project. Charlotte said these are not just photojournalists. These are also civilians. They're witnesses and victims to the horrible conflict that we're seeing unfolding in front of our eyes. We particularly thank Charlotte for this interview. She was in Paris after the passing of her mother this week. And that does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for our digital fellowship. Learn more and apply at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Felsmeifer, Tina Guster, Shariah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Warrenoff, Tarina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tamer Yasby, Joe John Hamilton, Rabbi Karen, Hani Masood. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., tune in to Department Uno to hear the latest and greatest from the CJSF playlist, featuring all new music from local, Canadian, and international artists. Fresh releases from the music department every week on Department Uno, only on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Radio Rewind. Now we wait it. Radio Rewind. Now we wait it. Radio Rewind. Radio Rewind. The following content has previously aired on CJSF. But don't worry, we'll be back next week with fresh content. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, worse.